Burnout rate right now is 72% in full-time America.
Yeah, I'm not
I
surprised.
mean,
Cause...
think about, let's just pause on that for a minute. 70%. If you had a family with 10 people and 7 out of 10 were just pissed and burned out and didn't want to contribute, like, you wouldn't have a family. It would just a disaster.
Hey, escapees, this is Brett here. Quick heads up, today's episode is a little bit different. I recently joined John Arm's podcast for a live Ask Me Anything conversation about life after corporate, what's broken, why so many people feel stuck, and quite honestly, the practical ways to start building income and a life outside of the 9 to 5. John was kind enough to let me reshare this with my audience and on this podcast, and I would still highly encourage you to check out John's his podcast, his content. We have a shared mission on helping people get out of corporate. John is the godfather of fractional. So if you are thinking, and seriously, even just thinking about that path, John is the person to follow along with. I'll also link to the podcast, his podcast, in the show notes. So with that, let's jump in. And by the way, stick around till the end. We do a little bit of a case study with Sandra, who is kind enough to share some of her challenges. I think you'll get a lot of value out of that. So I appreciate you listening, and let's get into it.
Let's begin. So welcome, everybody, to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the big game. With me today, this is called Ask Me Anything for anybody who's wondering why you're here and what we're doing. My job, my hope, is to illuminate in the AMAs, the Ask Me Anythings, is to illuminate as much as I can about the post-corporate life for people interested in it, facing it, experiencing it, living it. And that has been my journey for several years. And along that journey, I met this gentleman named Brett Trainer, also known as the Corporate Escapee. And Brett also has a similar goal, which is to help people understand the corporate world and the post-corporate life. And so today we decided, we were talking the last couple of weeks, we said, let's get on a thing and just really have at it. Let's get after it. Let's share what we know. And it illuminate this path for folks. So we have conversations about consulting. We have conversations about fractional, of course. And then, of course, we're going to spend a good amount of time bitching about corporate life. Because, you know, every story has to have a villain, and that's an easy one. So we're going to talk about that. So welcome, Brett. Welcome, everybody.
Good to be back. And I don't know if folks know that you are the godfather of fractional. I know you like to go by mayor, but I still think of you as the godfather.
That's been, okay. I answer to them both. When someone says the godfather, they say the mayor. I definitely answer to them both for sure. I like the mayor is nice, right? That's nice. The godfather is kind of cool because it's got a little bit of a, you know, some little taste of organized crime, which makes it interesting. So you know, I'll take both. I'll take both. So, well,
I think it means you're connected. You know, guys. You know,
I'm connected. Exactly. I know a guy. I walk into a building and say, "Be a shame if this building caught on fire. Be a shame." By the way, so well, what we're going to talk about today is, as you saw in the invite and in the information, we're going to talk about post-corporate life. We're going to talk about corporate life. We're going to talk about life after 45. We want to cover all these really important territories that I think it's fair to say, Brett, that you OCD over and I OCD over. And it's important that we do. It's important that we illuminate something other than the status quo 9 to 5 path. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do that, Mr. Trainer, for those who don't know you, haven't seen you, heaven forbid, haven't jumped into your podcast, share a little bit about, you know, what you're up to, how you're trying to change the world and what you're doing.
Yeah. And I know some of our community members here will roll their eyes because they've heard this a few times, but
it's not repetition. It's reminding. It's not repetition.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And I've actually gotten pretty good at getting this in pretty quick. Just so way of background for the folks that haven't met me before, we haven't been on for 25 plus years in corporate. I made the decision at the end of those 25 years to go into management consulting. So if anybody's thinking about that path, talk to me before you pull the trigger. I can tell you there's some good that came out of it, but it wasn't the right
path. Turn around and run. Turn around and run. Is that what you're saying?
You'd appreciate this, John, because when I went there, it was really my first fractional deal, and I convinced them to bring me on full time. So I brought myself down with that path.
And you lost it.
It did teach me market. It taught me a bunch of things. So when I left there, I did solo consulting. And then after about a year, realized it just wasn't for me. I didn't like virtual stakeholders and project plans, and it just gave me a headache. And so I'm like, you know what? This fractional leadership sounds like a good path for me as well. So I did that for a while. But really, what really unlocked it for me is the 2 years after. I think by last count, I figured out how to monetize my corporate experience 10 different ways. And it just,
you've got 10 revenue streams now.
Not all were. But yeah, and so it was just one of those paths that it was like an aha moment, right? That there's no one path for folks to get out. But I think there's so many people, you know, when I tell people that, you know, corporate quit on me. I mean, I kind of pushed the envelope a lot and didn't leave them much choice but to kick me out. But it was the spark I needed to take action. I'm going to come back to that in a second, because I do want to, how I get to the escapee piece of that. So once I figured out how to monetize corporate experience, I'm like, man, there's got to be other people. And when I started the corporate escapee, it was all Gen X. I'm like, there's got to be others that put 20 plus years into corporate, 30 years in some cases, are done with it, but don't see a path forward. So that was my mission for literally 6 months. I changed the name of my podcast to that. I was posting all the time on LinkedIn, and guess what? It was crickets. Friends and family and maybe Don were kind enough to follow along and push, because Don had already been out. And I was literally about to go back to just doing my solo thing. But I made the decision of all places to just kind of goof around on TikTok. And it wasn't like this Hail Mary to see what was out there. I'm like, new platform. It seemed, you know, I've got short
attention. Whole new world.
Yeah. And I just started doing some of my corporate rants on there and talking about right place, right time, and right audience. It's how I connected. I would say, I think I've got, 75,000 followers on there. And these are all corporate folks. I couldn't get in front of these people on LinkedIn, but hello, TikTok. And it just kind of opened the door. Great place. It started a path to, all right, so I know people care, right? I know I wasn't the only one that was burned out looking for a different path. And so that's really what started my mission we've upped it to 1 million people. How do we get 1 million people that want out to get out? Mm-hmm. And more importantly,
This year, data-wise, there's going to be 5 million people that are going to be shoved out of corporate. So I think you're aiming low, but, you know, you got to start somewhere.
We'll get one. Well, but I think if you look at the numbers from last year, it was 5 million. You know, the press reports the 1.1 million or whatever it was. But if you look at all of the other unreported layoffs, it's closer to 5 million. So we're probably looking at maybe double that.
So that's the entire state of Minnesota. If you want some sort of comparative, that's our population, about 5.5 million people. Not small potatoes, not insignificant. Now I'm Mr. Positive. So I'm going to say, you know, it's an opportunity, right? That's a tremendous amount of wisdom and skill and judgment that just didn't have a place to go in corporate, but it has the place to go here. Well, you know how to, find Brett in all the digital places and catch his podcast. I love seeing everybody here. You're all here to learn. You're hopefully here to network a little bit, connect with each other. With that, please put your, if you want to drop your email in the chat, like, one of the key things I'll talk about later is, you know, this, you don't do this alone. You need others. So we'll talk about that. But first, as I said at the top, I like to bitch and I like to complain. It feeds a little bit. I get a little dopamine hit from it. So Brett, I have a very simple question for you. Are you ready for this one? What is broken in corporate America?
How much time do we have for this now?
This is a half hour. I'll give you 5 minutes on this one.
Yeah, to me, the biggest change, and again, folks that are still in there have been there for more than 20 years, will say, well, it's always kind of been broken. It's been more the corporation first, people second. But back in the day, corporations at least pretended to care about people. They did. Let me put it this way, even pre-COVID, if there was a layoff, that was still a big deal, right? Because you're destroying trust within the organization. Now layoffs are a business strategy on a quarterly basis. Record profits, you know what? We can trim a few more to drive that profitability. I think that's the biggest one. And I talk about profits over people all the time. But the apologists will say it's always been this way. Yes, but I think because I've done some research on this too. Then you look at the average tenure of the CEO is getting shorter. Right. Mm-hmm. So you don't have people looking at 20-year horizons for these companies. It's literally quarter to quarter. And what is the CEO's incentive tied to? profitability, right? Earnings per share. So one of the most troubling stats, and there's many that I saw, was kind of looking at the layoffs and then at the number of companies that also, they spend $1 trillion buying back stock. So just artificially inflating stock price. Anything you need to know about where the numbers and what's driving them, it's not you. And I think what's the tail of that is performance just doesn't matter anymore, right? Back in the day, we could be good and you'd be relatively safe, right? If you're a good performer, you'll survive the rounds of layoffs. You'll make it to the bottom of the spreadsheets. Now it doesn't matter. You see people forcing people back to the office. It's like, hey, whoever doesn't want to come, they're going to quit. We don't have to pay them severance. Doesn't matter if they were
cold. It's become very cold, very inhuman.
100%.
Well, I'm hearing a couple of things in there. I'm hearing an increase in greed, maybe, is one thing, or however you want to articulate it. I'm hearing a definite decrease in loyalty. Those are two things I'm hearing you say. When people, when you coach them, when you talk to them, is this what people voice to you?
Yes, but it's more of the, they feel stuck, right? They know it's broken, but don't know an alternative, right? Because even when I was pushed out into the cold, it made me figure out, I didn't realize that starting solo was actually an option, right? I thought you had to start a company, buy a franchise.
Sure.
All good options, but I think it's just that's stuck. And two, I think it's the thing that really surprised me is the lack of confidence, right? Not just to go solo, but the confidence of the organization just crushing people to doubt their own ability at 25 years in success in corporate. But yet now folks are actually doubting if they're actually good employees anymore, which is, it was mind blowing to me. And that's the part that really bothers me.
I think I'm with you on that. I think we use a term that I think is really good to be clear on it. When we say corporate, when we say those words, there's a lot of ways you can look at that. You could say Fortune 500, but it's also mentality, isn't it? I think what you just described, it's probably more to do with the culture and the mentality than the individual company, because there's probably large Fortune 10s that maybe don't behave like the rest of them. But by and large, our corporate culture in America has changed quite a bit. And not necessarily for the better, which, again, Mr. Positive is going to say it's great opportunity if you can choose to see it that way and pursue it. I think the hard part, and I want to have you talk about this a little bit, is when you try to go back in. So what I see, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is essentially when I study this and teach fractional, the effect on that, the net effect of if you're over 45, you're out, you're laid off, and then the path back in is very, very difficult. It looks more like PTSD to me than it does career transition. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, 100% right. And I think what's helped me kind of reshape that and have conversations with folks is if you're going back in, and this is a recent aha moment for me, is if you actually defined or consider yourself a solo employee. Even if you're in corporate right now, you are your own company. Your only client is your employer. And if you looked at them as your only customer, are they a good customer? Right? They're probably paying you pretty well if you're still there. You get the benefits, but in fact, you got to go to the office 5 days a week, these types of things. You may find the trade-off in your hourly rate is really not as strong as you'd think it is. And what's happened is I've worked with some folks that ended up going back into corporate, but they're going back into corporate to build a runway in order to get out. So this time they're going in kind of eyes wide open with, hey, I don't want to say use the company, but it's going to be a transaction, right? I'm getting something out of it. I'm going to give to them to get out of it. And I think that's the biggest change I've seen, because at least for me, and I think I hear this from a lot, is throughout my career, I was completely reactionary. I built my life around those corporate jobs. Mm-hmm. And so it really wasn't even me thinking that this is a transaction. Maybe the last consulting experience was closer to that, but I still was reactionary to everything going in. So I think just that little bit of a mindset shift can flip it. Because if you're just going back, hey, I'm going to take whatever job I can get, I need to get the pay. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. I completely understand that. But flipping this and say, you don't owe this company anything, right? They're hiring you, they're paying you to do something. And that's what this is. It's a transaction. And I think flipping that helps. But again, we've been conditioned for 20 plus years to do this.
All of that, I'd say post-World War II to I pick this apart pretty intently in my book and then in class. The decline started around 1980 when we decoupled executive pay with performance, meaning around 1980, the numbers for the very few went really, really up. We all worked more, but we didn't get paid in relation to that. So executive pay to worker pay really created a great distance, which of course contributed to a pretty large wealth inequality gap that we had. But I want to come back to this thing on the psychology of it. I teach mostly from the psychology side and the mindset side. And I have had people crying in shock, extremely sad, entering depression, and we can get them out of that, right? But I think we, when a company says we're going to lay off 20,000 people or something like that, when that happens, I think we look at people like commodities and we don't see the human in them. I really don't think we do. And I think that's a loss to society. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that and the macro of that, not just the micro on how to get them better, but I think there's a macro loss there.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. And I think part of what I had to learn when I started working with folks going to make that transition is, you know, throughout my career, I must have been the right industries, wrong place, whatever. But yeah, there was, I think, 5 or 6 layoffs. So I got kind of numb to it by the end of it. But you forget sometimes this is people's first time or just the second time that they've gone through this. And especially if you've given a lot of time that, you know, you're right. It's the human side of this thing that is lost, and one the companies don't care about anymore. You may have a team or a boss that absolutely cares about you, but as an organization, those days are absolutely gone.
When did that start? When did you see that happening in earnest, Brett?
I want to say post, and again, dating myself, after the financial crisis, it seemed to start shifting a little bit. And what woke me up to it was when we hit the pandemic and everybody realized that they could work from home, right, without consequence, and say, holy crap, this is kind of awesome, right? I'm making this 45-minute commute each way every day. And now I can do this from home. And I'm like, all of a sudden you get to experience what life was again, because every other job I had before that was work from home, or not for work from home, was in the office. And all of a sudden you get that there is a balance to life. And I think that one pushed us to see, right, there is a better way to do this. Mm-hmm. And it pushed the office to say, yeah, we can do this, but now we want to bring you back in. So I think I would say in the last 5 years, it's really become, it woke everybody up. And I think if it wouldn't have, we'd still be just sleepwalking through this process.
Into these realities of give most of your life to the job and less, which there's math is math. There's only 24 hours in a day. If you're going to give 12 hours to a job, it's coming from somewhere. It's coming from your relationships. It's coming from your health. It's coming from your free time. It's coming from some incredibly important places. And I think we sort of, like you said, I think we slow walked our way into a culture that said, we only recognize you as an input. Therefore, I am going to extract as much as I can. So there was a time when the 8-hour day was normal and a 40-hour week was normal. I don't know anybody who's done 8 hours and 40 hours a week. Now, maybe that's me, but do you? I mean, it's so rare.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, maybe Gen Z figured this out and realized that corporate was a transaction when they started. And, you know, what do you mean you're not coming to an 8 o'clock meeting? Well, I don't start till 9, right? Yeah. When I first heard that, I'm like, the worker's wrong. But once I actually process this, I'm like, you know what? They've got a point. What are they going to gain, right, by going in and, you know, this is how you get your future, by putting in the extra hours. But with the elimination of middle management now, we're seeing that cut out. Where is the corporate ladder going? There isn't even one in corporate a lot of the times anymore. So even if you wanted to go down that progression, I don't even know what that looks like, right? And yeah, it keeps getting jumbled the more the changes and layoffs that we have and restructuring.
Dissonance, more friction. Essentially what it means is more change. I mean, things are just the underpinnings of normal, the rules of engagement, the norms, they just continue to change. And that happens, right? That's okay. That happens. I promise everybody we're going to turn the corner about halfway through into the positive side of things. But like I said, I like to bitch. I want to bitch about stuff a little bit. It feels a little good. I get a little dopamine hit, but there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And that is, I think all the change that, you know, you're expressing and seeing and sharing and all that we see, I think there's something greater at work. I think it's coming out sideways in a lack of a look at the inherent value in people, their skill, understanding them as people rather than just cogs. I think the reason there's so much drama in it is because it has to change. We could not keep going on that 9 to 8 schedule that, you know, we just couldn't keep going the way we were going. Otherwise, people were going to crash. They already are. Burnout rate right now is 72% in full-time America.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I mean, let's just pause on that for a minute. 70%. If you had a family with 10 people and 7 out of 10 were just pissed and burned out and didn't want to contribute, like, you wouldn't have a family. It would just a disaster. If you had a football team like that, well, I'm a Vikings fan. We did have a team like that. For a different comparative, right? That is just not sustainable, and it keeps getting worse. And I think it's getting worse because it's forcing itself to change. It's literally, I think, outgrowing its skin. What are your thoughts on just the underpinnings? Like, is this all just a change that's just has to happen anyway? Are we just fighting change? What's going on in your mind there?
It's going to change. I'll give you a personal story that it hit for me was the burnout stage. So it was about 2 years after being solo. And, you know, my wife looked at me one day. I don't even remember what we were talking about. We were talking about when I was still in consulting. She's like, what the hell is the matter with you? Right. I mean, what was wrong? Right. Because on the surface, it looked good. You know, in consulting, basically doing work I liked, you know, paid me well. The family's doing great. But to your point, that 70%, that burnout, it was just an unhappiness that was, you know, kind of, I think I got to the point of what am I doing this for? And what's the exit strategy, right? Because I never really sat down and thought, what do I have to work in corporate if, you know, if projections are right and health keeps getting, throw the healthcare system out for now, but assuming we get healthier and medicine gets better, keeps us, you know, there's a good chance that we're going to live to 90 healthy and active. I ain't working in corporate till I'm 80, right? So, yep. Part of that, everything just kind of hit for me at once. And that's what I'm kind of seeing with folks across the spectrum. Everybody's having that flashpoint at different moments, right? 30-somethings, 25-somethings, 40-somethings, 60-somethings are all hitting it. Mm-hmm. But what I'm still trying to figure out and solve for is there a way to begin to get people motivated to just take that first step before they hit that breaking point? And maybe at some point we'll get to the transition. But the way I look in my world, I've got, you know, 100,000 people following, which one is insane. But it tells me that there's an interest. They know corporate's broken. They're looking for a different path. But then we look at the number of people that take action. It's in the hundreds. So 100,000 to 100. And again, I don't care how good my funnel is or conversion, right? That just tells me there's a lot of people that know it. They're just sitting out here waiting for either that breaking point or that moment where they're just not going to take it anymore.
Do you think that might relate to the demands on people's time? Meaning when you need to take action on it, you know you do, right? Like you can just look at the world today and say, there's a chance I'm going to get cut out of this, or I'm going to run into a wall. Like this isn't going to end as well as I thought it was going to be. You might know that. But when you're so focused on the company's success or surviving at the company or just trying to paycheck to paycheck it, I wonder like, well, where's the time and space to take action on it? And I will tell everybody, I might make it pretty easy. Like we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to resources to get out and stay out, but it's hard. We recognize it's hard because there's so much occupying people's time. And I wonder if you have some thoughts on that. You think people are just too overburdened?
Overburdened, or again, I think the bigger one is what is that first step? Because I thought back into my time. I mean, I knew my time was coming to an end. I was pushing back. I was refusing assignments, right? I'm not going to San Francisco to manage a small project. Just no, right? So at some point I knew, but did I do anything to prep? No, because I really didn't know what there was to prep for. So I actually started a podcast. So I had the time. I just didn't know how to fill the time. Mm-hmm. Now, the other reason I say the podcast is because it did have time, even though I felt like I was busy. And I think that's more and more that if people can just get a taste or a sense that there is a, maybe demystify is the right word, that, you know, I used to say I think people see corporate and then solo, whether it's fractional consulting, whatever, you're standing on the top of two skyscrapers, right? And the tightrope is going there. And if you make one misstep, right, it's all, if you make a misstep, you're literally 6 inches off the ground, right? If solo is not for you, you give it a month or 2 months, if it's not for you, you can always go back and fight. Yeah. So
But you can't, though. That's the scary part, Brett, is that we used to say you can always go back in. But if you're going to go back in, it's going to be at two-thirds of what you were getting paid. You're going to get ghosted on the way there. And if you're over 45, it might be a year before you're back in. So even that idea that you can always go back in, there's a lot of friction on that right now, don't you think?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Unless you work with my buddy out there, Don O, who's made it his life passion to help.
Don'll get you there.
In corporate, I know, but anyway, but I appreciate what Don does because there are some folks that it's just 100%. I want to see corporate does not. And but I think that's right that there's you really don't have a choice, and it's not the riskier path to go solo. It's just. I don't want to say it's a mindset because that'd be too easy. I think it's a skill set. So the more I talk to folks is, look, we talked about, you know, your employer is your first customer. Mm-hmm. The way I think about, you know, I don't know how to sell. Well, you know, it's really about problem solving. And, you know, Don, we had a conversation the other day. It's about problem solving and outcomes. Mm-hmm. That's all you're doing with small business owners. They need problems solved. You can help them get to an outcome. And guess what? There's a fee for this. It's the same thing as when you're interviewing for a job, right? Jack to job title instead of problem. You're talking to your future boss. You want to understand what is the current environment in this company? What am I stepping into in this role? What are the biggest challenges I'm going to have to face? So when you're interviewing for that, you're asking for these challenges. When you're talking to a business owner, it's the same type of questions. You understand the challenge and you're thinking to yourself, either I can address these and help them or I can't. And where I don't know how to bottle this yet, John.
I do. That's what we teach at Voyager, and certainly there's ways to do that. And I'm going to get there. I promise. 30 minutes of bitching, 30 minutes of solutions. So the last little thing on the sort of the erosion, I hope everybody's finding comfort that it's not you, that there's bigger forces at work. There's things that you have zero control over that are influencing your life. But one more thing, let's talk about this a little bit. I'm not going to quote you on this, but I would love to hear your thoughts. You know, is it ever going back in any way to the way it was? Why or why not?
Absolutely not. Because I think one, the corporate model is broken, right? It's evolved and we are going to get to a point with AI and some automation and these types of things. But anybody that's been in corporate for a while, especially with legacy companies that have been around for a while, they can't even align sales and marketing, let alone figure out how to automate across multi-billion dollar operating budgets, right? That it's going to take time to do that. But I think where we're going to see an acceleration of this, and it's like a drug for these shareholders and C-suites, is getting that profitability. And one I posted on the other day is the RPE metric, revenue per employee. I know it's been around forever, but I would bet my bottom dollar that this is going to be what's driving these shareholder meetings. If you look at a company like NVIDIA, who's at, I think, $1.73 billion in revenue somewhere, give or take, they've got 36,000 employees. That's it, right? So revenue per employee of $5 million. You look at Meta, same, almost exactly the same revenue. They've got twice as many employees. I guarantee you those shareholders are like, whoa. Right. Whoa. We've got people. How come our RP isn't up at 5? And so now you've got super unrealistic expectations, but they're going to start trying to figure out automation. And Don sent me a note the other day on the India market on employment and how many people are. I mean, so if they can't figure out the technology, they're going to outsource it to get to that profitability number. So that's why I don't think it's on the. That's the negative side of corporate trying to get everything down. But on the flip side, we're seeing multi-million dollar one-person companies. So you can start to scale in the new model to start to compete with those companies. They're going to be chaos, mess. Yes, they've got a head start. But I think we're going to see a rise of these small and mid-sized companies leveraging the technologies for good, leveraging 100%. People, because people aren't going away. We need the people to make the decisions and help it. So that's where I think corporate, as we know, it's going to implode, but it's going to create a lot more opportunities with
small. It always does. It might be a step down on an escalator that's still going up. So our first half, the bitching about the status quo, is now done. It's now come to a conclusion. You can always call Brett and I or tune into another place. We'll go on this all day long. We love it. But there's sort of our promise to everybody is we want you to see a better future for yourself because it's there. And Brett and I just have the ability to see that because we're nerds about fractional and independence and post-corporate life. We've been decided years ago to make it our life's work, and in different ways, but it all roads lead to a place where outside of the status quo, you can be very happy and fulfilled. And one of the things that we talked about is, okay, let's share that. Let's share that. So you had mentioned, let's get into solutions here a little bit. Now I'd like to start where you kind of talked about a little bit is you found a way post-corporate. So the rest of our conversation is post-corporate. If I start bitching, you got to hit the buzzer on me and not let me do it, right?
Same, because it's
yeah,
easy.
Right. Yeah, it's yeah, yeah. Back. So hit the buzzer on me. You talked about, you found 10 ways to monetize yourself post-corporate. Share two or three.
Yeah, I mean, I think the traditional ones, right? Because I think the big ones, which are cornerstone, I would say, as of solo is fractional and then consulting. But then got into some more advisory. I did some business development for a growing company, and people think business development, sales. It was sales, but it was really more introductions. I had a small brand that wanted access to my network. I made introductions, and then they paid me to do that. I'm like, all right, this is kind of cool, mm-hmm. right? And then TikTok was a channel that became somebody that paid me to do this. And then all of a sudden there was coaching that followed on. And I think the biggest, I wouldn't say mistake, because everything was a learning process, is when I started, I was looking for the home runs. I was looking for the six-figure consulting mm-hmm. deals. I was looking for the six-figure fractional. Nothing wrong with that, but I left a lot of money on the table. So if I had flipped that and understood how to pick up some of the smaller projects or solve smaller problems, maybe I could do a little repeatable learn, that would have jump-started me a lot quicker. And then those tend to turn into consult bigger deals or fractional deals. And yeah. That's where I've spent a lot more time now.
There was a little bit of a step. You came in and solved a minor issue by being present and solving that. You're like, well, you can solve our major issues. And then it became larger.
Yeah. And again, I think, as you know, some of the fractional it's still learning that the small business owners don't necessarily know that title or how that would work. And man, there's still some education to go with understanding that you don't have to have full-time employees for this thing to work. And honestly, you could get the talent much. Who was it? It was the Ron Johnson, I think, of the CEO of Lettuce.co. Mm-hmm. And I had him on the podcast. His first 41 people he brought into this high growth company were all fractional and contract workers. He's mm-hmm. like, the talent density that I could get going that model versus that. So there's no doubt the ROI and everything's there, but it was me just being super stubborn. Mm-hmm. It's fractional or nothing, right? Or it's yeah. a big consulting deal or nothing.
Right.
And it typically, if you can help them, way I end up solving is kind of that good, better, best, right? That helping that when I meet with the business owner instead, because early on it was, I'm coming in with fractional. This is what I can help you build this out, take this over. But now when I listen to that owner, it was, all right, I can definitely solve this problem. And there's three ways we can do it. Super simple. I can be your sounding board, right? A couple hours a month, we can talk about this. Two, I can help you. I can dive in and help you map this out and build a plan to, and then help you execute it. Or three, yeah, bring me in as a fractional on a part-time basis. I can take ownership and build this out. 90% of the time, they're going to plan two. One is fine.
They end up at plan three?
Eventually they come to plan three because they don't have that leadership capability in there. So I think it's what I've been focused on is the path of least resistance. How do you get in? And quite honestly, if you can do that number two to get started, it gives you a chance to understand, do I even want to work with this company?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because yeah. you may find that that's not exactly what you had signed up for, where if you go straight with the fractional deal, I know most of them have outs that they do it. But if you can build, and again, they're going to trust you and they want you to come in and you're going to build the long-term relationship. So mm-hmm. I think the end game's the same, but I had a lot more traction if I would have kind of flipped that script earlier in the.
Yeah, I think all roads lead to a certain place, and that is you're going to be with that client in a significant way for a significant period of time. And here's why I say that. Everybody on the call, from what I can see, and I may not have this absolutely right, is at or older than 40 years old. And what that means, I might have that wrong a little bit, but what that means is you have a tremendous amount of wisdom to bring to the table. And that's in short supply. And AI is not going to give us any more wisdom. That's not its job. We have a tremendous amount of wisdom. So you apply that wisdom to a client, like, I'm really struggling with this. Can you help it? Whether that's a project, a 2-month thing, what they get is the wisdom that they haven't had. And that makes the problems go away. and the motions start to go fast forward. And once you have that, you don't let it go because you will start to move backwards. So it might start with, can you come in and just give me some coaching for a month? Let's just come up with a, you know, $5,000 for a month or some such number. I think there's two wins in there. The client's now moving forward on something that they were stalled on before. That's one. But for those of you who don't have clients yet or are not at full on fractional, is you're moving too. You're testing out your new muscles. You're getting used to the idea of having clients, not an employer. Your money is coming into the bank. You're moving in the right direction. And that I cannot say enough how important it is just to have motion going in the right direction. It really, really matters quite a bit. It matters for your soul and your spirit and your attitude. And the one thing I can tell you, and we teach this in class, the energy you put out is the energy that comes back to you. So if you're putting out positive vibes and forward motion and like you're feeling good about what you're doing, even though you're not making the kind of money you want to make yet, people see that. Clients see that, and that's when you start to get referrals, and that's when things, the whole sort of virtuous loop of opportunity starts to come your way. So I like what you say there is be flexible. Be flexible. It will probably end up as a fractional role. That happens all the time. But it might start out as a 30-day advisory, and yeah. That's okay. That's okay. So you were a little too firm. Did you get that from corporate? All right, that sounds like bitching. I'm not going to do.
I think that's a good point, because one thing I tell people all the time is you got to unlearn everything that corporate taught you.
My gosh.
Stay in the box. Don't rock the boat. Mm. Don't make a mistake because it could hurt you or you're going to get your performance review. And I mean, I think all of us earlier in our career, we're like, that's dumb. Why do we do this? And we did push the boat, but you get slapped enough times that you end up not rocking the boat. And guess what? In corporate, you're getting judged all the time, whether you like it or not. When you go solo or fractional, nobody's judging you but you. And if you make a mistake or you undercharge or nobody's judging you. And it is just about that learning and the freedom of flexibility. Again, I think the paralysis of having to have everything perfect is, I had a guy when I was in consulting. He said, done is better than perfect. He reminded me all the time. And I still have to remind myself of that. But that's why I think when you go into your first client meeting or you're in a networking call, you think you have to have everything completely outlined. And no, just listen, be a problem solver. And then you're going to start to get clarity. And it seems
these are concepts, right? These aren't things that people are used to. This is the new shit that you're kind of learning. You can see it and feel it probably in yourself, but maybe the last 10, 20, 30 years, you haven't been able to be that problem solver, to be that wisdom worker, to be that agent of change because of structures, because whether those are toxic structures or political structures or whatever, right? But there's new structures here. And I always have to remind myself to slow down because it is a learning curve. But speaking of that, this isn't going to be a speed round. But it's going to get close to a speed round. So what I'd like you to talk about here, speaking of this, is talk about three different ingredients for post-corporate success.
Interesting. One, take action.
So,
don't overthink about it. Just go. Have that first conversation. Have
beautiful.
That second
I love
conversation.
It.
Two is, this is good, the people side of this still matters. I can't figure out how to quite frame it, but because you had talked about AI, yes, AI is great, but you know, the one thing AI can't do, it doesn't have tribal knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. Big corporate, small companies, there's a bunch of things going on in these companies that AI is never going to figure out because it's not documented anywhere. You can't even explain it. So leverage the human side and build a relationship. So maybe that's where I'm trying to get to the human side is build real relationships with people. Three is be curious. Again, part of where when I was still in corporate, there was some curiosity. I'm like, what am I going to do? The podcast opened things up, but then I started talking to authors and different things. Now I'm like, just let me learn. Who can I talk to do this? So, right. So I think curious, the human-to-human piece of the relationships are going to go a long way with this. And just go. Just get started.
I love that so much, Brett. And I cannot, if I could just get a megaphone and blast that louder to the rest of the world, I would, because those three steps are critical. And I would agree, and I would add a few of myself, but that is not where people tend to go. People usually start, I'm going to go build a website. I'm going to go work on a pitch. I'm going to go network like a motherfucker and meet a million people. Like, they do the wrong things, I think, in many ways, or they approach the right things in the wrong way. And networking is one of those things I want to talk about a little bit. I think people tend to look at like, well, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to be 1099. It's going to be my own business. I have heard I have to network. Now, 80% of the people are introverts. So they're going to go, oh my God, anything but that. Please God, anything but going out talking to other human beings. I get it, right? That's 80% of our population is that way. And I think we understand networking in the wrong way. I like the idea of community. Community matters. And I want to share this. Another ingredient, a deeper ingredient, I think, is on what Brett said, is the people part. I know that you just launched a community. We have a community. There's a lot. Fractionals United is a community. Community is great. It's how you, I'm not going to say Brett's community is better or worse than mine. That's not even the point. They're all going to be great. They're all going to say, here's a resource of humanity for you. It's how you approach others. I have a great community. I got a lot of people. So does Brett. So do others. It's not like I'm finally in the right room. It's how you approach it. Now, one thing I know from what we teach is if you have 10 other people, 5 other fractionals, in your community, talk to these people once a month or every couple of weeks or something like that, you're going to do well. Because the deeper you go with a small amount of people, the more success you have here. Absolutely, without a doubt, we see that in Voyager U. So I would add that as another thing for success, for post-corporate success, which I think is a relief. I know that from a behavioral science standpoint, like that anchors to where you have a human need for community. Now, I know that video games gets people out of community more than it should, like sitting in your basement playing video games, but we do have a human need to help others and be helped by others. We don't do that as much anymore because remote and non-office and all that kind of stuff. And the communities we had before didn't really serve us very well. So I say community up, collective up, huge key component.
Can I give you 2? I'm
pumped. You can give me 10, dude.
I mean, so I'm going to go back to the introverts. So the introverts out there feel some of our best networkers are introverts because they don't like to do it. So they get really good at it.
Good.
The extroverts are like, I can talk to anybody all day, all the time. And they just get the energy from it, but they get nowhere in the future. The introverts are like, all right, I'm going to have to do 3 of these. So what's the best case that to get out there? So, shocking. I kind of fit in between, right? I'm not on the high end or the low end, but I like the efficiency. And I want to share with the community, John, because one of the things when I left, corporate, the mistake I made, I didn't tell anybody for 2 years, right? I mean, it was maybe a few friends and family. If that, and I had no reason not to. I wasn't going to.
You just kept it on the down low.
Down low, did it myself, lone wolf type of an approach. It was the biggest mistake I made. Mm-hmm. And even looking with our community, part of when I started this, I thought it was going to be tactics, strategies, playbooks, which are still important. But I found it's actually that connection that you're not in this alone, because even when you're think about in corporate, if you're still in corporate thinking about leaving, who are you going to talk to about this? Probably not your coworker. You
not can't HR.
Family, because you haven't figured it out. So you're sitting in isolation worrying about this. And then when you go solo, you don't want it to look bad. So you may not talk to anybody. So I think just in hindsight, I would have done that completely. I would have flipped it differently and put more focus. And so that's why you're going to see with our community, it's going to be the connections first, right? How do we get the peer-to-peer and the support and people so they don't feel alone? And that's, we've got the education, the tactics. Mm-hmm. But so if anybody's out there feeling that isolation, I get it.
Yeah, right. Totally. Yeah. And I want our people in a couple different communities. I really do. Cause it's, I know this mathematically, you have to have 10 other fractionals in your world. I know this mathematically, or 5 other fractionals, and they might be in my community. They might not. Cause some of that has to do with who you get along with or just some other thing. Sometimes it's just proximity, right? I'm in the Twin Cities. Brett's in Chicago. They're kind of close, but they're not really. There's a couple of things in here. Wow, these go fast. But there's a couple of things I heard in the chat that I want to bring out and have you guys talk to us about it. And I'm going to ask our friend Don to come off of mute. And Don, if you could, and talk to us more about this idea you interjected here called job hugging. Share with the world here what that is, what it means, how it hurts you, how it helps you. Let's hear it, baby.
Maybe. Oh, I love it. Job hugging is the concept where I'm not going to let go of this job until they fire me. I'm going to stay here because I'm concerned. I'm worried. The world is an interesting place right now, as we all know, all politics aside, but the economy is crazy, chaos. So I'm doing everything I can to fly low and avoid radar.
Isn't that interesting? And it seems like, what have you seen here? But it seems like the harder you squeeze something, the more you kill it.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't say it necessarily works. I'm just saying that's what
Right. Right.
It was kind of a comment when Brett was talking about the burnout of 74. And you were saying the same thing, John, the burnout rate of 70%, that even given that, I need my income. I've got kids. Because a lot of this age group, 40 years old, probably kids going to college, if not already there. One of the reasons I'm kind of rebranding the company into Third Chapter Coaching. You know, I'm in the third chapter of life. I've got a big mortgage. I've got kids in college.
It's a rock and a hard place or a catch 22. Any thoughts on that, Brett? Do you see a lot of job hugging? Did you job hug?
I didn't, but I hit my breaking point, right? I probably did earlier just to avoid that. But I just, again, when you hit that breaking point, it opens everything up and you don't care anymore. But 100%, right? It's because the job market's tightening. I'm going to ride this out as long as I possibly can, which again, I'm fine with, but start planning.
Start now.
Have an exit strategy, because eventually corporate's going to find you and you're going to have a second plan.
Get in a class, read a book, get in a community. Start now. Don't wait for it to be right at your jugular. It is coming. There's another thing in here that I want to share. And Sandra Smith shared, and Sandra, if you want to come off, you can. If not, that's okay too. But you shared something I think that is worth pulling out and talking about. And that is, it is very hard if you are laid off and you are starting from zero. Brett and I talk about this all the time. Like we know what not zero looks like, and we're too schooled in that, right? We often have to remind ourselves what zero looks like, but it is hard starting from zero. And maybe you could help us, Sandra. Like, you're at zero. It's very, very hard. How could we help you more? Like, what more resources could we provide for you, or just share mentally what that's like for you?
Thank you. I have met with quite a few fractionals since I started my offering, and I started 9 months ago.
Okay.
And most of them have started from, they were either leaving their companies and they were offered a fractional position, or they knew a friend or a family member that will start them, like kind of like Brett said, with a small project or something like that. Mm-hmm. In my case, I didn't have any of that.
Okay.
And I did not spend time building my network when I was in corporate for more than 20 years. So it was a really, really like battle to figure out how to properly network, figure out who would be a good contact. I read your book, John.
Oh, thank you.
Completely.
I appreciate that.
I'm a member of the collective. And it's been 9 months of networking, organizing and everything. And I have not even landed my first client, to the point of thinking, I'm quitting. I'm just going to figure out how to get my back in the corporate world, because it seemed to me that you have to have some sort of understanding of how to get in front of the right client, or have somebody that already really knows your work that can give you this kind of lift. Otherwise, you are like, it's hard, mentally hard too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I want to help you here. I want to help you here right now in real time. In real time, because you're being pulled in a fractional direction, and it's just not, the two ends aren't connecting yet, it sounds like. So what I'm going to encourage you for the next week to think about, and then find me in the community and let's talk. But spend time on kind of put networking aside, put anything resume aside, really think deeply. And I'm going to send you a resource for this. Really think deeply about that inner stuff. So I'm going to ask you to really think about that, because usually when they don't connect, there's some self-work that hasn't been done yet. It's not that the networking's not working, or I'm not getting the right opportunities. There's some mechanical things that you're trying. And usually that tells us like there's still some inner work to do. In class, we call it finding your inner nerd, like that thing about you. So Sandra, you have 20 years behind you, and just give me an idea of what lane you were you in, ops or IT or sales? Where was your thing?
I'm in finance and accounting. So CFO. Okay,
finance and accounting, right. So we have to get to that inner nerd. So let me ask you this. So in that world, as someone who has a tremendous amount of wisdom about that by now, 20 years is a big retired person, what drives you most crazy? about finance and accounting when it's not going right?
The lack of, sometimes when you work with the owner or the founder or the CEO, yeah. They wait too long into bringing the actual people that can help them to think mm-hmm. strategically and mm-hmm. build the business. They wait too long to do that. By the time they hire for cost, I experienced it right. through my entire career. By right. the time they hire somebody, they are on fire, like literally on fire. And they want somebody that comes and solves the problems in 24 hours.
Sure.
Because
sure.
they're drowning.
So now let's say you're there and they solved it. Or at least you're there. When you are doing what you love, finance and accounting, what is the stuff that drives you most crazy when it's not going right? What is it about that thing that you do that drives you nuts, that doesn't help the business? What is that thing?
As far as like what work I do?
Not the work you do. What drives you nuts? If I asked you to write a paper about finance and accounting going wrong, what would you call that paper?
Lessons learned from failures in finance and accounting.
Okay.
I would put a chapter of implementations, setting up the systems, hiring the proper right. teams, allowing the people to do their job instead of trying to think that they know how to do it better than them, that kind of thing.
So this is what I mean, and this is for everybody. Thank you for being vulnerable, Sandra. Sandra doesn't like when finance and accounting goes wrong, and she can fix it. She knows what good looks like, and I've never met her before. I don't think, maybe just electronically. That's the work we have to get to. You have to get to that place where what really drives you nuts is also the value that you bring. And mm-hmm. it's not time-based, and it's not it's making change on behalf of clients. So please stay with it. And we got to continue to work on this thing that we call it our inner nerd, right? It's not just I'm a finance and accounting pro. I'm more okay. passionate about it than that. I care more about it. I know its contribution goes farther than that. That's where we all have to get to. There's a great book called From Strength to Strength. I encourage everybody to read it. Once you're over 45 years old, you have all of this wisdom and you don't know where it's supposed to go and it doesn't want to go back into corporate. That's what Sandra is facing right now. And that's what many people face. If it's been a long time in this rational journey and the sides aren't connecting yet, it's usually not on the client side. It's usually somewhere in you is understanding your core strengths, getting beyond the transactional and into the relational. Brett, more help and coaching here for Sandra.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're right. And the way I like to think it is there a smaller problem you can break down to get started, right? So I'm always thinking with where's the world going, right? We're seeing more fractionals, more flex staffing, these types of things. Is there an angle that you can go with these small business owners talking about, man, if you've got 32 full-time employees, right, you as a finance understand where the staffing models are going. I'm just looking for an angle to get in that says maybe they've hired the wrong people. Or is there something else when finance with the systems and technology alignment to find what is there a one single problem? And you could probably solve 1,000 problems, but is there one that you can see 3 or 4 times that gets you in the door to have conversations with people? Because I think that was one of my biggest challenges is early. And I share this with when I left consulting, I do B2B digital transformation. There is not a single business owner alive that needed me to do that. They didn't even know what that was. It sounds cool. It sounds
what is that?
Exactly. But then when I kind of picked it down to a smaller that I had a boss like 10 years prior talk about 3 revenue levers. That's all a business has: acquisition, retention, and expansion. And so I started leading conversations. Do you have a strategy for these 3 levers? They're like, I don't even know what 2 of those are, right? And all of a sudden it opened the door for me to go in and figure out where their business is broken. So when I was leading with the big, it was really hard. But when I could start to pick a problem to get me in, it opened the door a lot farther. So I spend a lot more time now thinking about what is that entry point. You can still do everything. You can be opportunistic about everything. But is there something that's resonating with business owners now that gets you in to have that conversation? Because I guarantee if you had the conversation with the business owner, they would see the value you could provide them to their business. It's just
100%. There is no scenario, Sandra, where your decades of wisdom in that lane that you love, that the problems they are facing are not happening thousands of times a day across this country. They literally are. It's just connecting those two. In fact, there's 25 people here with us today. I can guarantee you, and maybe show of hands, you all know somebody that knows either a client or a connection where finance is an absolute shit show. I know one, and I bet you all do too. So they're out there. It's there, right? But there's other dimensions about community and networking that helps you get to that. So thank you for being vulnerable, Sandra, and thank you for sharing. And please reach out to Brett and I, and we'll coach you through.
Thank you.
I just volunteered some of your time, Brett. What do you think about that?
No, absolutely. It's been a while since I chatted.
Well, yeah. We're really coming down there. So a couple of things. First of all, Brett, thank you.
I appreciate you having me.
Huge.
Anytime I could get to vent and share, it's awesome.
Right. Half hour bitching, half hour solutions. I think that's a nice format. Maybe we'll carry it forward. But some questions in the chat, you know, how do I find more help and things like that? If you visit the Corporate Escapee, he's got a link in his LinkedIn. You can go to his website. You can find me on LinkedIn, Voyager University. We try to provide a lot of resources for what did Brett say? Just start learning. Just move. Start making motion in a fractional and independent direction. Start making motion in a post-corporate direction. That's your first thing to do. The rest, I'm not going to say the rest will take care of itself. There's work to do, right? We are in the biggest transition of work change that our country has ever seen. We started with a pandemic in this decade. And then after that, we went to remote work right on the heels. Shortly after that, AI came. And then shortly after AI, the normalization of layoffs for profitable companies. Five things. Is that five? Five things in 5 years, halfway through this decade. That would be like having the car, the train, and the airplane all in the same five-year window. That's how much innovation is happening right now. So it feels a little unsteady. If it feels a little freaking crazy, it ain't you, right? Things are moving at a crazy place. So what that's forcing us, we have to get down to the core nature of what makes us awesome. You have to get familiar with your inner nerd and your wisdom in order to thrive on the outside of what's all breaking down around us. Brett, closing thoughts.
Yeah, no, I just want LG had asked the question, what was acquisition, expansion, and retention? Are you keeping your current customers, right? So those three, I dare anybody else to find a different lever. So I think anybody on this call can use this for whatever business they're in because owners care about revenue. So if there's a way you can operationalize it, sales, marketing, customer success, service, tech, whatever it is. Yeah, no, again, just keep build momentum, get that first win and celebrate the small wins and just start to stack them. And I know it's easier said than done, but it definitely builds. Again, once you get to that point, you'll be like, I'm never going back.
You may not feel like it now,
but I guarantee you're going to get there and you're going to be like, okay, now I get
now
it.
I got
you're
it.
Here because yep. You see it, but it's, I guarantee it's worth the effort.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Corporate Escapee. Will you come back for another AMA?
Anytime. We'll have to have you come back into our world here before too long and share it. So.
But stay on the path, everybody. You're all on the right path. Keep learning. Go to Brett's website, go to mine. We're trying to provide as many resources as we can. We want you in this independent world. You want to be there. I think the universe is calling you there, and we will provide every damn resource we can come up with to help make that happen.
One person at a time.
One person at a time. So thanks, everybody, for joining. You were very smart to do so today. You've advanced your life just by learning today. So thank you so much, and we'll be back next week for the next AMA where we're talking about, I believe we're talking about artificial intelligence.
All right,
thank you, everybody. Have a good one. Thanks, all.